Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter 24. I want to speak on a very solemn subject tonight. It's called Christ Will Return. You believe that? Well, I mean, I believe that. Every morning when you wake up and you're still here, kind of disappointing, isn't it? You're not gone. At the end of the day, same thing. But I want you to read what the Bible says here. And Jesus said this. It wasn't somebody else saying what he said. This is what he said. Okay? Matthew 24 and verse number 35. Jesus said this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the Bible says there in verse 36 that Jesus doesn't know, but the Father knows. So we can't expect to know. Jesus is waiting on his Father, just like we're waiting on the Father to tell Jesus, go. That's all it's like. When the Father tells the Son, it's time, there it is. That ends it all. The Bible, though, in verse 37, gives us an idea of what's going on this earth. And notice what the Bible says here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like it was in the days of Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's something to think about. People will just go about their daily business, not even thinking about the Lord, because, after all, he's not very important to a lot of people. They don't think about it. And they're just going about doing whatever they're going to do, just like they did before the flood came. I got a notion when Noah was in the ark, all shut up, safe and secure, that there was a small amount of time that the world just continued. Some of them might have been on the outside laughing at me. I don't know. But there came a day when they stopped laughing, because the Lord did come back. The Bible said in verse 40, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Going to be a great separation take place. Verse number 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Then the Bible says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. I think it behooves us to continually watch, to expect. Watch with anticipation, because the Lord will come back. I don't know when. All your plans that you made will dissolve when the Lord comes back. You won't be able to fulfill any of those. I think we ought to plan to do what God wants us to do, because the time is very short. I mean, we can look in the world today and we can see how that everything is going on that's going on in the news. And we know that it won't be long. And so we need to suffice ourselves to trust in the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight as we begin. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're with us. I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, what a comfort it is to us just to know, Lord, that what you said would come to pass. Lord, I pray that we might be found faithful doing what you want us to do today, that we might have your will fixed in our mind foremost, that we'd have that to do, Lord, that you just bless us in that. Because, Lord, we need you. We're just people. is all we are. Lord, we're just sinners. Lord, I pray that you might give encouragement and strength to us. Help us, Lord, as we look in these scriptures about the fact that Jesus will come back. Lord, I pray that you might help us to be encouraged about all this, knowing, Lord, that the time is short and how much we need to dedicate ourselves to doing what you want us to do. Just forgive us for our sins, watch over us, Lord, and keep us close to you today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The world is going about just doing everything they're doing, not even thinking that it could all end in 1 hour. I want you to read with me tonight in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, about the destruction of pagan Babylon, about this wicked city that ariseth upon this earth, all the political pawns that are in this world, and all the things that are happening for their cause, to help them. We might think that it's all, it's discouraging when we see wicked people taking over and doing wicked things. But we should not fear because of all that. The Bible says in Revelation 18, and let's begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible talks here about the plagues that will come upon the nation of Babylon. And in this, the Babylon to us might have been destroyed a long time ago. But this is talking about the power of this world and how that all of the forces of this world are gained together, they're joined together to try to take over this world. That's really what it amounts to. And the Bible says in verse number 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. And that's what's going to happen. But the kings of the earth shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. In verse number 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. These are lost people upon this earth. They shall see their system degenerate before them. They'll see it being totally destroyed. They say, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. 1 hour. It didn't take very long. It might have taken a long time to build up their false entities, but it doesn't take God long to destroy them. God is God, and he can destroy more than you ever could imagine that he could. God destroyed this world with water in the days of Noah, causing a great flood to come upon this whole world, and all the kingdoms of this world, everything was gone except for 8 people that was on the ark. Everybody else fell. Everybody else died. Plants died. And that the effects of the flood are still felt upon this earth today. They're still here. I don't know what the world looked like before the flood. I have no idea what it looked like. But I would imagine that it would be a very beautiful place. I mean, a place of splendor. That's the way God created it. But God destroyed all of that. And what we have now, people say, well, that's a glorious scene. And it is, and they are. I don't think it's anything like what it used to look like. I have no idea. But the Bible said that these are standing afar off because the judgment came. And how long? 1 hour. It might have taken them years and years and years to slowly develop their system, their kingdom, and to arrive at the pinnacle of power, what they are today. But how long would it take God to destroy them? 1 hour. That's not very long. I mean, if it starts at 5 o'clock, at 6 o'clock it's done. That's not very long. That's just a little bit longer it takes me to eat one meal. I'm a slow eater. Some people are real fast, I know that, but I'm a slow eater. In verse number 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. You know why they're weeping? Because all their system of prophets is gone. These are earthly people. They're not heavenly people. They're lost people. And when they see the destruction that's come upon this pagan Babylon, they weep and mourn. The Bible said in verse number 11, here's why. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. That's why they're weeping. What are we going to do now? These people have no idea of eternity. They have no idea about the riches that God can give. But all they're pretending to look at is the here and now. And they say, nobody can buy any their merchandise anymore. And what kind of merchandise is it? In verse number 12 down through verse number 14, the Bible said here, and there's a long list. There's a long list of merchandise that pagan Babylon controls. And I want to say this. There is nothing wrong with gold. There's nothing wrong with silver. There's nothing wrong with land. There's nothing wrong with buildings. There's nothing wrong with all that. What's wrong is the love of it. When your life is based and all you have is just as a material thing, when that's all you have, that is what's so real. That's bad. That's bad. The Bible said in verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Verse number 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Do you think the last part of verse 14 is true? Where the Bible says, you shall find them no more at all. I mean, it's gone. It is vanished out of sight. Sometimes we might think that we're important because we have a little bit more money than somebody else. We're counting up our interest, right, from the banks, making sure we get everything just so-so, so we can have a lot of money. I don't know about that. I don't know how you do that. I'm an accountant. I mean, I have a bookkeeping, an accounting degree. I've never had a lot of money. I don't know about that. All I know is that God's going to take care of me regardless. In verse number 15, the Bible said this, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. The merchants of all of these different products, because the riches are gone, they don't have anything else. They have nothing else. How useless it is if your life is based upon silver and gold. How useless it is if your life is founded upon this world is bad altogether. It's much, much better to lay up your treasure in heaven. It's much better to lay it up there. Let God take care of it, and He can. They say in verse number 16, they're standing far off. The Bible said in verse 16, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, which was clothed in fine linen and purple, and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour," there it is again, "in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught." It just didn't take very long at all. It's all gone. In verse number 17, "For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as strayed by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they did cast dust on their heads and wept, crying and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate." That's amazing. When you think that in 1 hour, all the precious things that this world has devised and built will be gone. In how long? From 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock, it's all going to be gone. That's something to think about. God said He's going to take care of all of it. But notice verse number 20, the next verse. Now, all these people are looking to one thing, pagan Babylon. And they're mourning and groaning because pagan Babylon is destroyed and all their merchandise is gone. All right? In verse number 20, the Bible says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and the holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." So here's the thing. You will either rejoice or you will moan and groan and carry on. What are you going to do? Where is your hope? Is it just in this world or is it in the world to come? That's the question. If your hope is just in this world, it's a sad thing indeed. But if your hope is in the world to come, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to back up from. You can go forward with doing what God wants you to do. You can just keep on worshiping Him. But these people are going to have a stop because God will stop it altogether. The world will come to an end one of these days. I'm looking forward to that myself. I'm looking forward to it. So what if your house is destroyed? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about my house and about my shop and about all that stuff that's down there in that trailer shed too. Did you know what's going to happen to all that? You know what's going to happen to it? I got a 2-car garage. All that stuff in there, all that stuff on my patio, you know what's going to happen to it? You know? It's going to be burned up. So what? I'm not going to be burned up. No, I'm gonna be the Lord. Boy, that's gonna be. You know what? I don't think I'll even think about that stuff then. I don't think I'll even worry about it. No, I won't worry about it. Now, right now, I got insurance on it. I don't know why, but I got insurance on it. But that's just part of what I have to deal with. But you know, the book of Jeremiah, at least these three books. The book of Jeremiah, the book of Isaiah, and the book of Ezekiel all speak of two things. Two things, at least two things that I want to mention tonight. One is the coming destruction when their nation, the nation of Israel, or the nation of Judah, is taken over. And the nation that comes in to take over Judah, they completely wipe out everything. They take the captives and kill a bunch of them, but take others captive. That's right. That's one thing. But the other thing that's talking about is how that Jesus will come and he will destroy all those that destroy Israel. And he will restore Israel. Many people don't believe what I just said. Many people don't believe that. But I do. And guess what? I'm happy believing it. I'm as happy as I can be. It's not that I want to hurt anybody, but I want God to be glorified. I want him to take my life and use it however he wants to use it. He knows best about everything. He knows the best. And so I need to just let him take care of that. But when will Christ return? Look into Matthew 24 and verse 36. That's the first verse that we read, second verse that we read. When will he return? And we really don't know. We really don't know when Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. That's why that every morning we need to look out and say, today is the day, Lord. Come back today. And pray that. I think it's a good thing to pray for. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So nobody really knows what's going on. Nobody really knows. God the Father is the only one that knows when Jesus Christ is coming back. That's kind of a difficult thing to do, to separate the Trinity there. But I think this, all I'm doing is preaching what the Scripture says. That the Trinity is separated in that regard. But look in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And the Bible tells us here in this place that some folks today, they believe that the end of the world is false. They don't believe that the world will ever come to an end. They believe they'll die, but they don't believe that the world will ever come to an end. As complicated as things get, they don't believe that yet. Things have changed so much. And what I'm thinking about is the legal things. Now, I might remember some of it wrong, but I remember when Daddy told about when he bought the 45 acres that he owned it there in Shaw Community. If I'm not mistaken, they signed a paper, they shook hands, that's it. They agreed. But when Jim McCorder, just his dad, when he bought a house trailer, I tell you what, I sat in a lot of meetings, but that was the most boring meeting in the world. Boring, boring, boring. We signed papers until we finally had to take a break. We did. I was there with him. He signed his name, and we took a break. He signed it so many, I don't know how many times he signed it. I don't know how many times. We signed, he signed for the refrigerator, for the furnace, for the siding, for the floor, for the walls. You didn't just do one. You did it, signed every one of those things. He finally took a break. And Jim told me, he says, do you know what we're signing for? I says, I lost it a long time ago. He said, boy, I did too, to decide to sign my name. That's all he did. I mean, it's silly. I don't know how it is when you buy a house. I have no idea. I don't even want to think about that. I don't want to think about it. If you got a sign for a refrigerator, well, it gets a little silly. But that's the way the world is. But the world don't understand that this world will pass away. They don't know that. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, verse number 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first. And so the very first thing you need to understand is that there will be scoffers in the last days walking after their own lust. There will be people that come and they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? Because we've not seen it." Just because you've not seen it don't mean it won't happen. It don't mean that at all. The Lord will come back. He says, "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." And that's where they're wrong. Because it may look like it has, but everything has not continued from the beginning of the creation. When God created this world, he created absolutely, totally perfect. There was nothing wrong with it, no sin at all. But since then, sin has come into the world. And the whole world is just gone haywire because of it. Because of sin and iniquity in that. The Bible said in verse number 5, "For this they willingly," and underline that word willingly, "for this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water." See, they forgot that. They forgot that. "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." They don't believe in the flood. They don't believe in a worldwide flood. Some of them believe in a Mesopotamian flood, but they don't believe in a worldwide flood. Do you believe the world was... This whole world. Do you think this whole earth one day was covered with water? I do. Why do you believe that? Because the Bible says that. That's why I believe it. I believe the Bible. That's all. But many people don't believe the Bible. They don't believe it at all. That's why they say they're willingly ignorant. And notice in verse number 5, they are willingly ignorant. It's not that they're just ignorant, but they've heard the truth and they've rejected the truth. They're willingly ignorant. They do not want to believe that, and they will not believe it. They'll put other theories up there. I personally believe that evolutionists are in this ballpark. I think that's talking about evolutionists. Because they don't believe in a worldwide flood. They don't believe that God created this world. They don't believe in it. But I think they're willingly ignorant. Because that's what the Bible said. They're willingly. They have heard the truth. They don't like the truth. They don't want the truth. So they're just shut it out. It didn't happen. The Bible said in verse number 6 that the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word. Here's what the Bible said. By the same word are kept in store. That is, now it is reserved. Kept in store, that's what it means. It's reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The world was destroyed one time with water. But the next time it will be destroyed, it will be by fire. God will burn this world up. See, that'll never happen. That's what they said about the flood. God can do anything. He could make it all disappear, but he won't do that. He's going to change it around after a while. But he destroyed the world with water, and then he's going to destroy it with fire. He said in verse number 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." You need to know that. He said this is a valuable truth. Be not ignorant of this one thing. Remember this. That one day is the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God don't count time the way we do. That's what that means. You cannot say that the flood came along when the world was about 2,000 years old, therefore it ought to be about 2,000 years since Christ was here, and that's enough at the time. You can't say that. You can think that. You can also be wrong. God can come back anytime. Christ can come back anytime. It might be that he'll come back real quick. I don't know. It might be that he'll wait another 10,000 years. I don't know. Nobody knows. Jesus doesn't know. He said he's waiting on his Father to tell him when to come back. That's what I get from Matthew 24. But remember this, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This is a promise that God, that Christ has given. He said he will come back. That's his promise. As some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Just as sure as the world was destroyed by water in the days of Noah, that's just that sure that the world will be destroyed by fire when Jesus comes back. That's it. But we have hope. We that are saved have hope. Our hope is not in our bank account. It's not in the things of this world. It's not in our wealth. Our hope is not in our producing wealth. Our hope is not in our doing things at all. Our hope is only in the Lord. That's where our hope is. We're believing in Him. Look in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. And verse number 13. There in the book of 2 Peter, talked about he didn't want us to be ignorant of this fact. But here's something else that Paul says he don't want us to be ignorant about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This is a precious, precious verse. Because when loved ones die, and you miss them, but not without hope, because you'll see them again. That's where our hope is. Our hope is not in the things of this world. Rather, our hope is in the things that are spiritual, the things of eternity. He says that he didn't want us to be ignorant of these things. He wants us to have hope. In verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You think about that. Boy, that's going to be a glad reunion day. That's going to be a happy time. Not only will you get to see the Lord, but also you get acquainted with people that you've never met. But you'll know who they are because they're saved and you're saved, and you'll be able to rejoice. What did Noah look like? What did Abraham look like? What did the woman at the well look like? You ever visualize her? You know what? You'll see her one day. She's going to come back. That's what the Bible says. They're all coming back. Well, that is a great thing to rejoice about. I think of some of you that's lost loved ones, and how that the Lord lets you see them when they come back with Jesus. That's going to be a great time. God will bring them with him. In verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall be unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first to be reunited with their dead body, you might say. Well, they'll be given a new body. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That will happen. I'm looking forward to that. To have this body of sin removed will be a good thing. I won't have to contend with that anymore. That day is coming. That should stir our hearts and make us glad that God is well able to bless and watch over us. Notice here in these verses, verse 14, for if we, the word is we, Paul is including himself here. In verse number 17, then we, Paul again is including himself, which are alive and remain. So Paul is expecting Jesus to come back before he dies. But he missed it. But he wrote down, and the Bible is absolutely true. We ought to look forward and believe the same thing that Paul believed, that the Lord will come back before we die. So I'm too frail. How long does it take the Lord to come back? How long does it take the Lord to come back and rapture you out? How long does it take? Oh, about 20 years. Dream on. How long does it take? You know, let me read this. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 50. And we'll find out how long it takes to rapture us out. How long would it take for all this to take place? The Bible says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is something this is a mystery. We ought to really be engaged in this and understand this is a great thing that God will do. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And notice there in verse 15, verse 51, that Paul is using the words we two times. He's saying, we shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In verse number 2, verse 52, how long? In the moment, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is a moment? Oop, that's already gone by. Whoop, another went by. Another went by. It's just that quick. Can you count them up? A moment. It's a very short amount of time. But then the Bible says, in the twinkle of an eye. That is a very, very small amount of time that the eye can twinkle. I've seen twinkles in people's eyes when they're looking at me and telling me a joke. And when I get it, then I see that twinkle in their eye. Ah. I remember, man, this guy, he was excellent. Well, he was excellent. When he told a joke, stone-faced, stone. You would never know he was telling a joke until you looked in his eyes. You looked into his eyes, you could see he's telling a joke. He was joking you. I can't stop grinning. But he could. He could do it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's going to take place so quick. So quick. It's gone. That's it. I mean, and we'll all be gone. And that's what we all look forward to, is the rapture. It is the coming of the Lord. We all look forward to that. And not all this other stuff that we look forward to. In verse 53, for this corruptible, he means there, this corruptible, he's talking about this body in which we dwell that's full of sin and depravity, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We live in a mortal body. It's going to die. Must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is going to be gone. Because of Jesus Christ, he will take care of us. A wonderful thing that he mentions here in this place. Finally, notice this. Don't look for signs. Don't look for signs. Look for Jesus. That's the plain truth. Don't look for signs. Paul wrote about the coming of the Lord some 2,000 years ago. Many people have spent their lives looking for signs. But I believe that we ought to be more interested in looking for Jesus than we are in looking for signs. That's what I believe. Lift up our eyes. Don't look down. If you look down, you'll see signs. They're all over the place. I mean, in this woke generation we're living in, I mean, there are signs everywhere that Jesus won't put up with this very long. Lift up our eyes. Get our eyes off of this world. That's what the Bible's saying. Take our eyes off this world. Look for Jesus instead. And when you look up, you look up. Don't look down. Look up and see Jesus. He is coming back. In Matthew 24, in verse number 38, here's what the Bible says. When you look for signs, here's what you're going to find. Jesus said this. Paul wrote about it. And it's the way it is. Matthew 24, verse number 38, part of our text. For as in the days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice this. If we try to look at signs, involved in that is looking at people and what they're doing. Notice what it says here. Verse 38 and 39. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice this. People, they're not looking for the Lord to come back. We'll live their lives different. Although they'll be doing the same thing, they'll be living their lives differently. We need to look for the Lord to come back. He talks about these two people, verse 40 and 41. then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. See, they're working side by side, doing the same thing. Always be careful about looking up. Looking up. Look to Jesus. Look to Him. See, He's going to come back. The Bible said in verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. So, although we're surrounded by all these, keep our eyes up. Keep our eyes, lift up our eyes and look on the Lord, and He can bless. Notice one other place. In the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17. Verse number 28. The Bible said, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Notice in that place, the Bible refers to Lot. It was Lot that was living in the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he lingered, and he waited until the angels that came to take him out, the two angels got a hold of four of them and took them out. Lot's wife, however, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. The two girls went on out with Lot. And they lived in Lot, God told the angels, you take these three up to this other place. They said, we don't want to go up there. We're afraid to go up there. Okay. Go down here. They said, we won't stay in this place. They went down there. But then they got afraid down there. Lot would have been a lot better off. If he just trusted the Lord and do what God wanted him to do, he'd be a lot better off. And we would be too. Be a lot better off. But Lot didn't think that he was wrong when he sat in the gate of Sodom as an official of the country. He didn't think he was wrong. And he missed. He's a bad example. That's what it amounts to. He's just a bad example. Don't be like Lot. Serve the Lord in sincerity and truth and look up. Lift up your eyes on high. And see God. I tell you what it'll do. When you lift up your eyes on high and you're looking at the Lord, He'll make this world easier to live in. It'll make it a lot easier to live in. And we need that. Okay, let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, if you would. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you might cause your word to be heard. Lord, that it might be adhered to. I pray, Lord, for this people. I pray, Lord, for me, that I might be able to take your word and use it, glorify yourself by it. Lord, I pray that you just forgive us for our sins. Watch over us. Father, keep us close to you. Lord, I pray that for those that are lost today, that you might cause them to come to you in saving faith, knowing, Lord, you can save anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place. Lord, I pray that you might just bless. Forgive us for our sins. Help us today to be what you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.